We all have this fear, right? Like cancer, it's one of the biggest mysteries out there and threats to human health.
Yeah.
But what if I told you that by studying tumors, we could unlock secrets, not just about our bodies, mm-hmm. but about ourselves mm-hmm. and like society as a whole?
Wow.
Sounds a little crazy, maybe, but that's the idea behind this book.
Okay.
Kanasuchi Nadori, which means what tumors teach us.
Okay.
By this incredible molecular biologist, Professor Jana Amardava.
Professor Amardava, sadly, she passed away in 2023.
Yeah.
Really made us rethink cancer in a whole new way. She was a scientist, obviously, and spent her career studying tumor cells.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, she takes all that expertise, all that science, and she connects it to observations
okay.
about human behavior.
It's not your typical science book, though. I mean, right. it has color-coded sections, so you can either focus on the science yeah. or, like, the sociology stuff.
It's really unique. It shows just how much Professor Amardava wanted people to understand this, to make it accessible.
So before we get into all the parallels between, like, tumors and society,
okay,
could you maybe give us, a crash course on how cancer actually develops?
Sure.
I think some people might be surprised to learn how complicated it really is.
Yeah, it's at its heart, cancer is a disease of uncontrolled growth.
Okay.
Cell growth and division.
Mm.
So, you know, our bodies are always making new cells, right, to replace old ones, damaged ones.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this regulation in a healthy body. Cancer is when that regulation breaks down.
Yeah.
Cells just start multiplying like crazy. They ignore all the signals that say, hey, stop.
Oh, wow.
So you get a tumor.
So it's like a cellular rebellion?
Yeah, you can say that.
But what causes that to happen in the first place?
That is the question that scientists are still trying to fully figure out. There's so many factors, genetics, environment, lifestyle choices.
Right.
Sometimes it's just bad luck.
Yeah.
You know, one little mutation in a cell's DNA throws everything off. Or it could be like a bunch of things happening over time.
So it's never just one thing.
Right. Exactly. And that's what makes it so hard to treat.
Yeah.
It's not like a single enemy. It's always changing, adapting.
Right.
The tumor grows. It messes with how the surrounding tissue works. And then if those rogue cells, they break away,
yeah.
they travel to other parts of the body through the blood or the lymphatic system.
Okay.
That's metastasis.
So they're basically like hijacking the body's systems
yeah.
to spread their rebellion. That's kind of scary.
It is. And that's why Professor Amardova's work is so important. She didn't just want us to understand cancer.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted us to learn from it.
I can see that. It's like, if we can figure out what makes these cells go rogue, maybe we can learn something about what makes human societies go kind of haywire too.
Precisely.
Right.
And one of the most striking parallels she makes
yeah.
is between a tumor's uncontrolled growth.
Okay.
And, like, the greed,
right.
the unsustainable consumption
yeah.
that we see today.
So instead of just saying greed is bad, she's giving us a, like, biological example
right.
of why it's actually harmful.
Exactly.
Like, would it be fair to say that she's comparing, like, the reckless expansion of a city to how a tumor invades healthy tissue?
Exactly. That's a great analogy.
Okay.
She argues that just like the tumor will destroy its host, eventually, if it keeps growing...
Mm-hmm.
Humanity's appetite for resources, its disregard for the environment, could lead to our own demise.
So it's not just like an ethical argument. It's a matter of survival.
Right. And she ties those destructive behaviors
yeah.
to actual cellular mechanisms.
Yeah.
For example, angiogenesis.
Angiogenesis.
So basically tumors, they can create their own blood supply.
Wow.
They send out signals and they trick the body into growing these new blood vessels.
Oh, wow.
We feed the tumor. So it can grow really fast
yeah.
and spread, even while it's depriving the surrounding tissue of what it needs.
Mm, that's incredible. It's like a hostile takeover
exactly.
of the body's resources.
Exactly. And Professor Amardava argues that we see this in societies, too.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that prioritize, you know, short-term profit over long-term sustainability.
Right, right, right.
Think about industries that just exploit resources or economic systems that... concentrate wealth in the hands of a few.
Okay.
At the expense of everyone else.
That's a powerful analogy. So if unchecked growth is the problem, what are the mechanisms, like on a cellular level, that could be targeted?
Well, one way to fight cancer is to target angiogenesis.
Okay.
To cut off that blood supply.
Right.
There are drugs that do that. Mm. And they've been amazing, revolutionary for cancer treatment.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we can't just cut off the blood supply to, like, unsustainable industries or whatever.
Oh, right, right.
But we can learn from those drugs how they work.
Right.
On that cellular level. They mess with the signals that tumors use to, you know, hijack those resources. So maybe we can apply that same kind of thinking to disrupt the signals that are driving those unsustainable practices.
Okay.
Things like subsidies for fossil fuels
mm.
or tax breaks for corporations that pollute.
Okay.
Those could be seen as signals that incentivize the wrong kind of growth. Like, we need to rewire those incentives
yeah.
to promote a more sustainable kind of growth,
yeah.
you know, on a cellular level right. yeah. and a societal level.
Totally.
And that kind of brings us to another parallel
okay.
that Professor Mordava highlights.
Okay.
The breakdown in communication
right.
and cooperation.
Right.
In a healthy body, cells are always talking to each other,
uh-huh.
sending signals, receiving them, making sure everything runs smoothly.
Right.
Cancer cells, they lose that ability.
Oh, wow.
They just start acting on their own, ignoring the signals from their neighbors.
Yeah.
From the surrounding environment.
So they've gone rogue.
Exactly.
And they've cut off contact.
And what's interesting is that this breakdown in communication,
yeah.
it often comes from these disruptions in cell signaling pathways.
Okay.
Which are like intricate communication networks.
Right.
Within and between cells.
Oh, wow.
Involving all these complex interactions.
So it's not just a lack of communication. It's like the whole communication system is
right.
messed up.
Exactly. Mm. And this can be caused by, you know, genetic mutations, toxins in the environment, even chronic stress.
Mm.
But the result's the same.
Okay.
The cells can't coordinate their actions.
Right.
And they start acting in ways that, sure, maybe it benefits them,
uh-huh.
but it harms the whole organism.
I'm seeing how this applies to, you know, societies breaking down. Like
yeah.
when you have political polarization, nothing gets done.
Exactly.
Or when, like, misinformation spreads on social media, no one trusts each other. You can't even have a normal conversation.
Yeah, it's like those communication channels are just jammed with static.
Yeah.
Or the lines are cut completely.
Yeah.
And Professor Mordava, she argues that this lack of communication, this lack of cooperation,
yeah.
it could be just as destructive in human societies as it is in a tumor.
Wow.
You get conflict,
right.
instability.
Right.
And eventually, those systems that keep society functioning, they break down.
So how do we fix that if those pathways are broken?
Well, with cancer,
yeah.
researchers are looking at ways to restore those pathways.
Okay.
To get those cells talking again.
Right.
And in a way, that's what we need to do in society. We need to rebuild trust.
Right.
We need to talk to each other, honestly. We need spaces where people can actually listen to each other,
mm.
work together.
That sounds really hard to do, especially these days. Everyone's just yelling at each other.
It is a challenge.
Yeah.
But, you know, Professor Amardeva's work, it gives me hope.
Okay.
Because she reminds us that even in chaos, there's possibility for change.
Okay.
In fact, there's a whole section in her book
yeah.
about adaptation. In tumors and societies.
Wait, so even those rogue cells, they can adapt?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
They're constantly evolving, trying to find new ways to survive,
mm-hmm.
to thrive, even when things are tough.
Okay.
And that's something we can learn from. We need to be adaptable to.
Right.
Willing to change how we think, how we behave.
But isn't that kind of a double-edged sword?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were just saying how cancer cells being adaptable
right.
makes them hard to treat.
That's true. But adaptation itself, it's not good or bad.
Okay.
It's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It can be used for, you know, destructive stuff.
Right.
Or creative stuff.
Right, right.
The important thing is to understand how it works.
Okay.
And then try to steer it in a good direction.
Mm-hmm.
A direction that helps the whole, not just a small part.
So it's not about stopping adaptation. It's about, like, guiding it.
Exactly.
Like, how do we do that?
That's where things get interesting. Professor Mordava, she argues that one of the keys to positive adaptation
yeah.
is diversity.
Diversity. Hmm. Not sure I see the connection.
Think of it this way. In a tumor, all the cells are basically clones.
Okay.
Same genetics, same weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
That's why chemo works so well, targets specific things.
Right.
But if one cell figures out how to resist the treatment,
yeah.
all the other cells, they'll probably follow.
So it's like a monoculture.
Exactly.
Like a field of corn,
yeah.
all susceptible to the same disease.
Exactly. But in a diverse ecosystem, there's a better chance that some organisms will survive a challenge.
Okay.
They'll have the traits to make it through.
Right.
And that's true for societies too. when we embrace diversity in all its forms, we get more knowledge, more skills, more perspectives.
Right.
We're more resilient. We adapt better.
Okay.
Or more likely to find solutions to problems.
So diversity isn't just like a nice idea. Right. It's essential for survival.
According to Professor Amardova, yes.
Okay.
And it's something we need to cultivate in our own lives and in our institutions. We need places where different voices are heard, where people from different backgrounds can come together.
Right.
Share their ideas, learn from each other.
It sounds like Professor Amardova is asking us to, like, radically change how we think about ourselves and the world. She's not just saying fight cancer.
Right.
She's saying rethink what it means to be human.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
In this world that's so complex and everything's connected.
Yes. And that brings us to another parallel she explores.
Okay.
Fear of death and the pursuit of immortality.
Oh, this is getting interesting.
Right.
So what do tumor cells have to teach us about our own mortality?
Well, one of the hallmarks of cancer cells is that they can evade death.
Okay.
Normal cell death. They just keep dividing, keep replicating long after a healthy cell would have died off.
Like they figured out how to cheat death?
In a way, yeah.
So they're immortal.
Kind of. But their immortality, it comes at a price.
Yeah.
Because their drive to survive, it ends up destroying everything around them.
Yeah. So it's like they win the battle, but lose the war.
Exactly. And Professor Amardova, she argues that we do this too sometimes.
Humans.
Yeah. We go to extremes to avoid aging, to avoid death.
Right.
Sometimes we do things that actually hurt ourselves.
Right.
Or the planet.
So like those fad diets that say they reverse aging.
Yeah.
Or people obsessed with getting more money, more power, even if it isolates them from like the good things in life.
Exactly. It's like we're so scared of dying.
Yeah.
We forget to actually live.
That's really a point.
And it gets to the heart of what Professor Amardova is trying to tell us. She's not saying just accept death, be nihilistic about it.
Right.
She's saying be more mindful about living.
Okay.
Confront your own mortality, but with curiosity.
Okay.
Not fear, with a desire to, you know, make the most of your time.
It's powerful, but it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
How do we want to live a long life, but also accept that we're going to die someday?
That's a question we all have to answer.
Yeah.
But Professor Amardova offers some ideas.
Okay.
She says, shift your focus.
Okay.
From just trying to live longer.
Right.
To trying to enhance your health span.
Health span.
Basically, focus on living well.
Okay.
Not just living long.
So it's about quality of life, not quantity.
Exactly.
Years.
And that leads to another part of her work that we hasn't talked about. Her focus on ethics.
Ethics. How does that fit in?
Well, Professor Amardova, she believes science shouldn't be isolated.
Mm-hmm.
It should be talking to other fields, philosophy, ethics, the humanities.
Okay.
She felt scientists had a responsibility to think about the ethical implications of their work.
Of course.
Especially when it comes to things like life and death.
Yeah.
You know, the big questions.
So she wasn't just a scientist. She was a philosopher, too.
Absolutely.
In a way.
And she wasn't afraid of those tough questions, like how should we use our knowledge? What does it mean to live a good life?
Right.
For example, in her book, she talks about the ethical dilemmas of cancer treatment.
Right.
Like, how do you balance extending someone's life with preserving their quality of life?
That's tough. Well, and I think those are questions that we all have to deal with at some point.
Exactly. And Professor Amardova's work, it gives us a framework to think about those things more thoughtfully, more deeply. She's challenging us to move past those simple stories.
Yeah.
Good versus evil, right versus wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And embrace the complexity of what it means to be human.
It really makes you think. And, you know, going back to the book itself, the way Professor Amardova presented everything with those color-coded sections, it's really interesting, like letting the reader choose their own path.
It shows how much she wanted everyone to understand this, not just scientists, anyone who was curious.
Yeah, like an invitation to explore life, death, all of it. And I think that's what makes it so, so fascinating.
I agree.
It's not just the science itself. It's the human side of it.
And speaking of the human side.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about Professor Amardova's own journey.
Oh, right.
From what I've read, she dealt with her own health issues, including cancer.
Wow. That must have shaped her perspective.
I'm sure it did. It probably explains why she was so passionate about connecting science with human experience.
Right.
She knew firsthand that science isn't just this abstract thing.
Right.
It affects all of us.
So it makes you wonder if we can learn from those mistakes, from cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
Can we actually build a better society, a healthier one?
That's the big question, isn't it? Professor Mardavat doesn't give us all the answers.
Right.
But her work, it gives us a way to think about these challenges.
Okay.
In a new way. She reminds us that everything's connected.
Yeah.
And that our actions have consequences.
It's like she's saying, we can't just treat the symptoms. Mm. We have to get to the root of the problem.
Exactly. And those roots, they're often in how we've built our societies.
Right.
Our economies, even how we think.
So it's not just about curing cancer. It's about curing ourselves.
That's a powerful way to put it.
Of the things that are making us sick.
Yeah.
In the first place.
I like that.
Professor Mardava's work, it's a call to action for all of us to be more aware, more compassionate, and more responsible.
Couldn't agree more.
This deep dive has been incredible. I feel like I've learned so much, not just about cancer.
You do.
But about, well, everything.
Professor Mardava's work is really something.
It is. And for our listeners, I really recommend checking out her book.
Absolutely.
Konas Uchinadori. It'll stay with you long after you finish it. I think English translations are coming soon, too.
That's great. More people need to read this.
Yeah. And maybe it'll inspire someone to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
Even a small one. That could have a ripple effect.
A healthier world for everyone.
What a great thought. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
And to all our listeners, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep learning. We'll see you next time.